This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
For man, that great wonder, crossing the heaving gray sea, driven on by the blasts of winter, on through breakers crashing left and right,
holds his steady course, and the oldest of the gods he wears away.
The earth, the immortal, the inexhaustible,
as his plows go back and forth,
year in, year out,
with the breed of stallions turning up the furrows, and the blithe, light-headed race of birds he snares.
The tries of savage beasts, the life that swarms the depths.
With one fling of his nets,
woven and coiled tight,
he takes them all.
Man, the skilled,
the brilliant, he conquers all.
Taming with his techniques
the prey that roams the cliffs and wild lairs,
training the stallion,
clamping the yoke across his shaggy neck, and the tireless mountain bull.
Hello, and welcome back to Sophocles' Antigone in 2019. I'm Brendan, a recently converted student of philosophy and hobbyist of ancient Greek. This is episode 6 in our series, so before you continue, please make sure you've listened to and appreciated the first 5 episodes of the podcast. You will be tested over this material at the end of the episode. What you've just heard are the opening lines of the chorus's first Stasimon, commonly referred to as the Ode to Man. That version was translated by Robert Fagles and performed by BBC Three in 1985. In this episode of the podcast, I'll be covering Strophe and Antistrophe Alpha, lines 332 to 352. Now, this section is both dramaturgically and philosophically charged. It deals quite directly with what it is to be human, and very acutely captures overarching themes of the text. We'll get to that in a moment, but first, let's define terms. Today's episode is brought to you by the word deinos. It's used twice in the first 8 words of the Stasimon, so it's hard to miss. Deinos is one of those Greek words that can't be translated directly into English, though you may recognize it from our word dinosaur, meaning literally, lizard that is deinos. Its semantic range includes several words which I would have never thought to bring together. Deinos is the height of a skyscraper. Deinos is the intricacy of our highways. Deinos is the burning of our rainforests. Deinos is the man that got you down. But nothing, says Sophocles, is more deinos than the human race. In single-word definitions, we will see deinos described as fearful, terrible, marvelously strong, powerful, clever, skillful, awe-inspiring, wonderful, strange, extraordinary. Have fun making that into a flashcard. The reason deinos is today's big thing is precisely because of its many faceted definitions. This brings us to our point of philosophy. Relativism. Relativism is the idea that truth is relative, that there is no objective truth, only truth from a perspective. Think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Pretty soon, we'll see how this is important. Now, let's get into the meat. We'll begin by interpreting the alpha section. The entire passage is hinged around a key word in the first verse. This word is deinos, no surprise. The chorus explains, there are many deinos things, but nothing is more deinos than mankind. After this, the chorus describes a series of acts. The first of these feats is the overcoming of the seas and mastery of the earth through crude technology. The plow grinds lands away while mankind travels on a winter's wind, presumably in small boats. Next, man takes away birds, beasts, and the things of the sea with finely woven nets. Through the use of various devices, he takes control of mountain beasts, shaggy horses, and soon-to-be yoked bulls. These feats are of taming and subverting other living things of the earth and the sea. It's not hard to see here how the feats of mankind connect to the central word, Deinos. After all, mankind rose up over everything else natural, setting itself up as the dominant force in nature. Clearly, this is a wonderful thing. Man's cunning inventions have dramatically altered the landscape for the benefit of mankind. Now, we have bulls under yoke, the company of beautiful horses, and endless fish and beautiful nets. The world is certainly different now than it was before, and to us, an audience living in the city of Athens in 442 BC, or in the city of Austin in 2019 AD, it's patently better. We did it! We overcame nature itself, and we have so much more to do. This introduces us to the main conflict of the ode, man versus nature. If you're half listening, I tune in about now. The deeds described in the ode are very clearly placed against the natural order of things. What man does is not what nature does. Antigone's Ode to Man is one of the first extant pieces of literature to draw this sort of distinction. Mankind and nature are not only distinct, but at odds. One must dominate the other. Huh. Well, if that's the case, then maybe these deeds aren't so wonderful. Perhaps, in fact, they're terrible. Well, that makes just as much sense, too. All that I've said we've done to overcome nature, it's not a good thing at all. What a transgression! Evidence from the passage seems to support a reading of a wonderful mankind and a terrible mankind simultaneously. The deeds and the diction of the passage itself do not inherently lead to only one position. The repurposing of tireless land is wonderful, but also terrible. Mankind's ability to travel across rough seas is awe-inspiring, but the skill also far surpasses the natural abilities of animals. This puts to mind a certain ambiguity regarding mankind's endeavors. The things humans do are neither wonderful nor terrible alone. It really could be either of these things, depending on your perspective. For the benefit of mankind, the deeds are wonderful. They are the right things to do to ensure the safety of the human race. But the advocate of nature would say that the deeds are terrible, that they encroach too far on the naturally ordained order of things. The moral value of man's deeds are constantly called into question by the existence of another side of the debate. And this is about the right place to mention again relativism. The thing that seems right may only seem right from one perspective. This is a textual and philosophical theme echoed throughout the Antigone, most obviously personified in the conflict between Antigone and Creon. Do you see the parallels? Each at odds about what's right and what's wrong, neither submitting to the other, but persisting along their same train of thought, perhaps to their own doom. There are two conclusions I'd like to draw here. One, Sophocles' writing is genius for the way in which it handles the ambiguity of our progress. The ode is a wonderful microcosm for the presumptive actions of key figures in the play. Either of them could be right, but by denying the reasoning of the other side, they could very well both be wrong. The other point runs along the same page, but it applies to us, not the play. The conflict between man and nature is quite clearly linked to some kind of relativism, and this conflict very easily spills over into the real world. There is a very real question of whether or not human progress is fundamentally against nature, and to what degree this would be a terrible thing. The monumental achievements of mankind are very often viewed through a single-point perspective. Is it good for us? Then it's good! Wonderful! We conclude. And in doing so, we might fail to understand or even notice the less illustrious flip side of the achievement. Here's a question we won't have time to explore, but is something you can take home with you. What makes our accomplishments Deinos, and not simply wonderful or terrible. Really, of course, Deinos doesn't mean any one of these things. It's not wonderful, or terrible, or crazy, or clever. It really just means Deinos. It connects this wide range of purpose and feeling into one two-syllable word. Think of it as if the words terrible and terrific were merged into one word. This is the word that combines all of these things. So, when the chorus of old Theban men assert together that mankind is really very Deinos, we have no reason to believe that collectively they mean any one of these things. Maybe individually, Thanos feels a little guilty about our progress, while Stauros is quite gung-ho about the grinding away of tireless Earth. But we can all agree that at the end of the day, we are involved in a collectively Deinos pursuit. Every step we make towards progress takes us further from where we started. And we've made long strides. What about that is most Deinos to you? And now for a short reflection on teaching the class. For the most part, I've thought about two things since teaching. One, how much more work goes into lesson planning than I expected? This sort of encompasses the second thought, which is that it's absolutely crucial to have a clear idea in mind of where to end the conversation. It's important to define terms and then know where they will take you and where you can stop them. In short, clarity, clairvoyance, and conclusion. Alliteration is also pretty good. At the beginning of the episode, I told you that you'd be tested over this material. Well, here's something for you. It was a ruse! Ha! No test! That's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Maybe you disagree. If you do, please be sure to leave a comment below. If you're listening on Spotify and or there is no comment section, I encourage you to hop on over to Facebook and write about how Deinos this series is. Stay tuned for next episode, where Joseph will finish off the Ode to Man and explain further what kind of creature man is. This has been episode 6 of Sophocles' Antigone in 2019. And I was Brendan. Music throughout the episode was supplied by Kevin McLeod. I encourage all listeners to consider their place in defining anthropos, mankind. Deinos doesn't have to be the final word. With that in mind, I'll leave off this episode with the ode as performed by the cast of Antigone in Ferguson, translated and directed by Brian Dorries. I am going to antistrophe out of here.